So in his poem, Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front, Wendell Berry advises the reader to do things that don't necessarily make sense, such as love God and the world, work for nothing, take all that you have and be poor, love someone who does not deserve it. And he recommends that we ask difficult questions and plan for a future that we ourselves will never see, to plant trees that we will not live to harvest. And when those with power can predict our thoughts and behavior, Barry says, that's when we should change. And he sums up all of this advice with two words: practice resurrection. Of course, we are here today to celebrate the resurrection of the Christ. We celebrate and tell this story to proclaim that love is stronger than hate and even death, that God's love incarnate will not be deterred by petty tyrants who live fearfully by violence, hoarding their wealth and power. But resurrection isn't just a one-time event that happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago. I believe that resurrection is a principle, it's a way of life. When we walk God's way of love, we are asked, as Wendell Berry asks us, to practice resurrection, to become a resurrection people, to become a people who, when struck down, rise again from the ashes, who believe we can always recover from adversity and tragedy, that when we stray from God's path, it's always possible to turn and reinvent ourselves. Resurrection people are people who reject that which causes death, such as hate and selfishness, putting their trust in the belief that love will overcome. They encourage life, building loving, supporting relationship, valuing compassion and justice, not just for those who are here today, but also for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and all of the people who will come after us, who we will never know. Resurrection people put their faith in the words of Isaiah when he proclaims that God is creating new heavens and a new earth, what we might call the kingdom of God. This is a life of joy, where Isaiah says there is no need for weeping or distress, where life can be lived to the fullest, where we are not subservient to billionaires who claim the fruits of our work for themselves. This is a life of plenty, plenty for everyone to have what they need. A life of peace, where the wolf and the lamb get along and no one preys on another. This is the life of a people who practice resurrection, who are resilient and generous, loving and forgiving, who put their faith and hope in God as they seek to live justly in peace, who believe there is always a light to guide us out of darkness. On this Easter Sunday, in the story of Jesus' resurrection, I believe that we can see the first steps that we can take toward becoming resurrection people, people who walk the way of love that Jesus reveals to us. And in this story, the first step that I kind of see is to consider the barriers in our way. What holds us back from encountering the resurrected Christ and following his path? When the women were going to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body, they must have wondered how they were ever going to get in, as the tomb was closed off by a huge stone. What stones threaten to block our entrance into new life? Now, since we're all unique, we may face different barriers. For me, what feels like the biggest barriers are things like apathy, fear, selfishness, my perceived need to protect myself and not necessarily worry about anyone else. And these are barriers that are reinforced by the world around us. Those who seek to exploit want us to feel scared, They don't want us coming together in loving community. They would rather that we be separated and hateful and weak. And then, of course, my brain asks all kinds of questions that reinforce those barriers, too. If I'm vulnerable and reach out to someone or for help or relationship, will I be rejected? What will happen if I speak out and stand up for justice? Will I become a target of retribution? The human mind invents the worst case answers to keep us from taking what it perceives to be risks. But giving in to fear and not taking risks in life is its own kind of death. We end up seeking only to exist rather than to live fully and joyfully. Perhaps if we don't take risks, we never would have noticed the stone was rolled away from the grave, because unlike those women, we wouldn't have left our house that morning. We just assume the stone is going to be there in our way and not even try. But when our hearts grow accustomed to stony resignation, resurrection seeks to break them open. It demands faith and hope, even when there seems to be no reason for it. It invites us to ask things like, well, what if the stone wasn't in the way? What if we did take a risk? What if we stood up for justice and people listened? What if we reached out to someone and were welcomed with open arms? And when the women arrive at the tomb, the stone indeed had been moved. And that's the way it is with a lot of our fears. We make some assumptions about what can't be done, but often if we try anyway, it turns out, well, yeah, that really could be done. We put ourselves into our own tombs of fear and scarcity. But being a resurrection people means looking at the barriers in front of us and challenging them. People of life, Jesus, God, cannot be held in tombs of fear. Now, of course, sometimes we'll take risks and we'll get hurt. Sometimes things don't work out how we want them to or on our timetable. Transforming ourselves and trying to transform the world isn't easy. Often we tend to resist change, even if it's change for the better. Transformation can be painful. It can involve grief as well as joy. Embracing new life, embracing God's way of love, peace, and justice doesn't erase the pain of life, the hurts that we've experienced or the hurts that we've inflicted upon others, but it does transform them. It asks us to learn from them. Resurrection says, yes, sometimes we hurt. Sometimes we hurt others, but we still belong. We're still God's beloved children. We're still deserving and capable of a full and love-filled life. Living a life fully as a resurrection people means that when we do experience pain, we don't hide or live in denial, but we remember, we hold others and ourselves accountable, and through love, compassion, truth, and forgiveness, we become better because of those experiences. And another step on the path of resurrection is to make sure that we're looking for life in the right places. Those mysterious people that the women encountered that morning at the tomb ask, why are you looking for the living in a graveyard? Jesus isn't dead, but Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Hallelujah. But we look for the living in places of death all the time. We want to live full and joyful lives, but we often look in the wrong places. We delude ourselves that life can be found in addictions or wealth or power. But when we look in places of death, we're only going to find more death. They're just more stones threatening to block our way. If we want the fullness of life, then let's look where life is nurtured. And yes, we should notice the stones, but also notice the blessings, the roses, the beautiful flowers. Instead of roadblocks that stop us from acting, let's choose to see challenges to be tackled. Instead of focusing on scarcity and what we don't have, we can focus on the abundance of what we do have. Let's put our trust in God, having faith that we'll either be able to move the stones or find another way, that there will be enough for everyone. Isaiah says that in this new life that God is creating, the people will call to God and God will answer. Putting our trust in God means building relationship. And we do that, of course, through prayer and meditation, making conscious contact with the divine presence. A resurrection people are a praying people. But we also build relationship with God by building relationship with nature, caring for the plants and the animals that surround us, because the divine is present there as well. And it means building relationship with each other, letting the Christ in me greet the Christ in you as we build meaningful and supportive community. Resurrection isn't just about new life for ourselves. It's about nurturing life for everyone. It's about making room for all life, other people, as well as the rivers and the lakes and the oceans, the forests and the fields, the birds and the wild animals. It's about looking beyond ourselves, moving beyond our self-centeredness and choosing instead to nurture a mutual thriving, a harmony of all God-created life. A third step on the path of resurrection, I think, is to realize that not everything is going to make sense. And maybe that too is also part of putting our trust in God. When the women went back to the other disciples and reported what they had found, they weren't believed. Their story made no sense. How could Jesus still be alive? And so Peter went to the tomb himself to investigate, and we're told that he was amazed that the tomb was empty, but there's no indication that he really understood or believed that Jesus was alive, at least not yet. It still didn't make sense. And Peter and the others were left asking, what had happened? What did it mean? And what happens next? Life won't always make sense to us, and we're left asking how and why. But resurrection invites us to trust God and lean into that unknown. The disciples had an understanding of who Jesus was and what his ministry was, and his death, I think, seemed to seal that box forever. But then this amazing thing happened. Christ burst out of the box and turned everything upside down. Nothing would remain the same. Something new and unexpected happened. And that's what resurrection does. It turns everything upside down. God sees life where we see death. Because of that, sometimes we don't understand what's going on, or we don't recognize the new life happening in front of us. But God's love cannot be killed. It is stronger than death. It is life-giving. And if we are to walk the path of this death-defying, life-giving love, then we are also asked to become a resurrection people, a death-defying and life-giving people. And so let us put our trust in God. Let us set aside our fear and selfishness. Let us meet our challenges with hope, with a thirst for peace and justice. Let us seek life not in the graveyards, but in the loving presence of the divine. Let us seek life not with a demand that it happen our way, but with an amazement for the possibilities of the unexpected. And when we feel lost and dejected, remember that that is the perfect time to practice resurrection, to turn to God and seek new life. Amen.